Today on Sermons from the Well.
Some people are warming themselves by the fire of carnality. Everything feeds the flesh while the spirit starves. Some people are warming by the fire of worldly entertainment. Hours of worldly influence and only minutes in God's presence. And you won't read God's word. So many people won't read God's word. And when I go ask them, I say, man, that is a key. You're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself. But that's one of the keys to victory.
It's time for the Word with Pastor Tim Rigdon with The Well. This is a church digging a wellspring of revival in rural America. This is a place where you come as you are. You won't leave the same. Now, here is Pastor Tim Rigdon with today's message here on Sermons from the Well.
You know, there's different things that the world has that we can warm up to, and warming is a sense of comfort. Is it not? When you're cold and you start warming up. And me and Pastor Barb know what that means, because we left it here and there was all this temperature and humidity. And we spent a couple of nights with my mom and seeing our grandsons up before we went on up for the conference and the church that I had to preach at. But in that, on Monday night and Tuesday night, I'm just telling everybody going up for the fire on the mountain, it was 48 degrees. Okay? So it changed big time. We come down off out the mountain and then come home last night, and I was mowing right at dark, and it was still 50 degrees warmer than what it was almost, it felt like. Amen. Praise God. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke 22, 54 through 62. It's a familiar scripture. It's talking about Peter says, having arrested him, they led him and brought him back to the high priest's house. But Peter followed from a distance. Everybody needs to make note that Peter followed from a distance. Peter followed from a distance. Amen. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, here's another thing you need to make a point of. Peter sat down among them. Peter sat down among them. Verse 56 says, and certain servant girl. Now that word, the Greek word for servant there can mean a slave. It can also mean someone who's in bondage. Amen. So there was a certain girl who was in bondage. Let's put it that way. Seeing him as he sat by the fire. Remember, she only come, the young lady in bondage only come in contact with him because he sat down at a fire he wasn't supposed to. Says, and looked intently at him and said, this man is also one with them. And he denied him. And of course, this has been prophesied by Jesus ahead of time. He said, you're going to deny me three times before what? For the rooster crows. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after that, about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. He's basically saying, man, you don't know what you're talking about, but how many knows that Peter's denial is a lie? You're lying to everybody around you. You're lying to yourself sometimes. And I think there's a lot of things that go on in our life. This is free. It didn't cost you anything extra. But there's a lot of things going on in our life that we don't just lie to everybody else. We lie to ourselves about the denial of what we're facing. Amen? 61 says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to ask you today, what are you warming up to? You know, what are you warming up to? See, Peter experienced two very different fires in his lifetime. In Luke 22, Peter sat by a fire in a courtyard of the high priest, and he compromised. He denied Christ three times. But in Acts 2, Peter stood under the fire of heaven. See, one fire weakened him. The other fire transformed him. One fire caused him to deny Jesus. The other fire caused him to boldly preach Jesus. One fire filled him with fear. The other one filled him with the Holy Ghost. And you got to understand something. The difference was not Peter's personality. The difference was the fire he sat around. The fire you sit around will determine the person that you become sometimes. Who you sit with matters. What influences you matters. What feeds your spirit matters. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Look at this slide. Proximity produces identity. In other words, what you're hanging around with, what you're close to, you will become eventually. So proximity produces identity. You ever seen somebody, I call us chameleon Christians, that when they're around certain people, they act one way. When around church people, they act another way. I can always tell when somebody acts different when they leave here. Not because I'm judging you, I'm praying for you. But when you see me, you get your religious voice on. I don't care if we're in Walmart. How you doing, brother? And God bless you. But you don't have to do that. I'm a man, okay? I'm just a person. I'm a human that has faults. That's the reason we can talk to each other. That's the reason when I preach to you, I'm not going to preach to you. I'm preaching down. I'm preaching at us, okay? Because proximity produces identity. See, Peter's story teaches us that there's a fire that destroys and there's a fire that delivers. Amen? If you're taking notes, you can take notes, but you can also tap that thing in behind your seat that it'll bring up all my notes. And I'm trying to do stuff a little bit different. Brother Gary's helping me out with a lot of my points and where I'm going to and stuff. I used to not have them up on the screen, but now we do because it's so you can go back and do some homework. People said, I ain't tapping that. I got out of school, so I'm not doing no more homework. See, the fire of compromise, I want to talk to you first. Luke 22:54 says, but Peter followed from a distance, did he? Notice the progression here. Peter denied Christ publicly, but first he drifted privately. I'm going to say it again. He denied Christ publicly, but he had already drifted privately. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Because nobody backslides overnight. Nobody wakes up one morning and suddenly feels abandoned by God. The problem is this. It begins, fall from a distance, but I'm behind things. It begins with distance. It begins with distance. You start to distance yourself, not just from the Lord, but from church people. You start distancing yourself from prayer. You start distancing yourself from worship. And the next thing you know, and you do that because you feel convicted about it. But you're not willing to change. And because you're not willing to change, you go into a whole mode there that God does not want you. See, you have less prayer, less worship, less passion, less burden, less conviction, less hunger for God. And before long, Peter, who followed from a distance, he finds himself sitting around people that don't even like Jesus or what he stands for. When we, as a Christian, as church people, whatever you want to call it, when we start to distance ourselves from the Lord and from his people and his children and stuff, then all of a sudden the next step is we're going to find ourselves sitting in a place we didn't mean to be. You're going to find yourself sitting in a place that I can't believe they're over our sin, but all of a sudden you're right where you couldn't believe other people were. Here's the thing about it. The devil knows if he can get you distant, he can get you defeated. If he can get you to back away from people, back away from the Lord, back away from the work of the Lord, back away from godly people or people speaking in your life, then the next thing is he can get you defeated. And so I see so many people, and you know, and it's in every church. It's not just most churches anyway. Most churches have people that have strayed. We call it strays or backslide. You can put any name you want to. But what it is you're getting distance. You're getting distance. Hallelujah. Why would you get distance? Because you're convicted every time you see a church person. Now, you're not convicted by them, and they're not condemning you. Hallelujah. Every time everybody comes up and shakes your hand and says, oh, we missed you at church. It ain't that person is condemning you. It's all of a sudden the conviction of the Holy Spirit gets upon you, and you start to realize, you know what? I'm not just distanced myself from the church or the church people, but I've distanced myself from God. And see, that distance is the first step to being defeated. Amen. Because distance always precedes denial. Yeah. See, Peter didn't, he didn't jump right in at denial. He started distancing himself. See, Peter used to be close enough. He used to be close enough to walk on the water, didn't he? Now he's far enough to deny Christ. The enemy's fire represents compromise, carnality, fear, spiritual weakness. Peter once said, though all men forsake you, Lord, I never will. He had a bold statement, and he was a bold person. You got to remember, when they come to get Jesus, he's the one that drew out his sword and chopped off the ear. A side note of that, how many times as we get everything in our own hands, like a sword, that Jesus has to come and put it back together again? Straighten it up, what we've caused. Amen. Says, you know, a servant girl intimidates him. A person in bondage, a slave, begins to intimidate him. Can you imagine? You're sitting around your own fire, and there's people in bondage, especially a young lady, and then all of a sudden, because you know better than to sit at that fire, you know better than to warm yourself with the world, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, somebody else that's in bondage begins to call you and say, don't you go to church? Ain't you a Christian? What? And she wasn't being critical of him. What she was basically saying is this. Can I say this? What are you doing here? What are you warming yourself here? You don't belong. You belong with him. But he's going through a hard time right now. He's fixing to be crucified. I don't want that. But God says, if you're ashamed of him on this earth, he'll be ashamed of you up there. So we need to come to that place that we're not warming ourselves by the world, number one. But number two, that we're learning that all of a sudden the world don't know why we try to belong to the world. I mean, this slave girl, this bondage girl, this servant girl, she said, you're one of them. And he says, nah. Here's what happens. If we start hanging around the people in bondage, I'm not talking about you going and witnessing to them. I'm talking about you falling back into the same path. Amen. What happens is this. Eventually, the atmosphere you're around will affect the spirit that's within you. Whatever's on the outside will begin to get on the inside. See, I talked to a sailor one time. He was actually in the Navy, but I talked to him, and he said this. He said, I said, man, you're out there, and you can't even see ocean. I mean, you can't see land for miles and miles and miles. Maybe you've been on a ship or something like that. But I said, does that not frighten you? He goes, no, not as long as I see that water on the outside. It's when I start seeing that water on the inside that I get concerned. And to see the same thing happens. You may be in this world, but you're not of this world. And so when you go to witness to somebody, I have people all the time say, well, I'm just going down there and witnessing. I'm just going down there witnessing. And next thing I know, they're not in church. Because all of a sudden they've distanced themselves from the people that had their answer, and they started hanging out with the people that had their problem. And what happens is the enemy takes what's on the outside and he tries to get it on the inside of you. It's just like the water on the boat. So eventually the atmosphere around you will affect the spirit that's within you. His confidence here we find is gone. His courage is gone because he's letting little girls get him scared. And his fire is gone. In other words, the wrong fire produces the wrong spirit. In other words, you can't constantly feed your flesh and strengthen your spirit at the same time. But we got to realize something. The enemy's fire always promises comfort. Remember, he was going to warm himself? It always promises comfort, but it always produces compromise. So you may be hanging out in the wrong place, warming yourself in the wrong place, and you say, there ain't nothing wrong. I'm still going to church. Yeah, but are you the same? Okay? Because a lot of times what happens is the enemy gets his hold on you, and you keep going back to that place. But the Lord says, you know what? You may have caused you as cold. You may have warmed yourself. But all of a sudden, it's going to produce more than what you wanted. See, compromise always says, just blend in. Don't stand out. Don't be different. Don't be radical. I like it. The Lord spoke this to me and said, don't take all that holiness stuff so seriously. And before long, conviction begins to disappear in our lives. There are still wrong fires today at some people sit around. Can I name you out some fires? Thank you. I believe a lot of people, even Christians, are warming themselves by the fire of bitterness. See, the fire of bitterness, it replays the hurt that you have over and over. Whether it's church hurt or family hurt or just hurt with the world. It replays the hurt until anger becomes your identity. Some people are warming themselves by the fire of carnality. Everything feeds the flesh while the spirit starves. Some people are warming by the fire of worldly entertainment. Hours of worldly influence and only minutes in God's presence. I'm seeing a whole generation. You'll spend all this time playing your Xbox or whatever it is now, the next, and stuff, and you won't get along with the Lord. And you won't read God's word. So many people won't read God's word. And when I go ask them, I say, man, that is the key. You're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself. But that's one of the keys to victory, is getting his word and getting it. David said, I hide the word of God in my heart and I won't sin against God. But too many people won't read it. You know what they always say? Oh, I don't read good. I don't understand good. It's a big old book. I know it is. It's intimidating sometimes. But you got to break it down. You got to realize it's 66 small books. 66 small books and put together. And God, you know, you may say, well, I don't read my Bible daily. See, I don't read my Bible daily because I'm a preacher. I do it because I want to stay in victory. See, I don't do that for him. It's not like you're checking a box. I did good today. I gave him the offering and I read my Bible. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. You're saved by grace, not by your works, lest any man boast, okay? And so God is trying to understand, you know, reading your Bible is a good thing. And if you miss it, I hate you missing it. But the thing about it is that is not sent to have condemnation. It's not, you're not sent to say, oh man, I missed 3 days of reading my Bible. There's no condemnation. You know how you fix that? Pick up your Bible and read. Start again. Oh, I struggled that when I first got saved. I started in Genesis and I was going to read the whole Bible. Which they got apps and everything else that you can do that now. But way back then, they didn't. Which that's only been 45, some, it's been a long time. Been longer than most of you are alive. But I started reading Genesis. So I got in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. And I started going through it. Well, I'd get to about Genesis 3, you know, reading a chapter a day. And I'll be honest with you, I quit. I laid it down. And now I felt bad about it. I felt bad. And I thought, man, I failed God so much. He's done so much for me. I failed God. And so then I say, but we're a New Testament church. That's the problem. And so I flip over to Matthew. And I start reading Matthew 1. And if you've never read Matthew 1, it's the baguettes. It's one of the most boring chapters there is, okay? God forgive me. But and I know why it's in there now, but I didn't then. This one begat that one. This one, and you say, what's begat? You had a baby. These got together and they begat or had a child. And the child, and it goes up. And the whole reason for Matthew 1 is just to show the lineage of Jesus. That's all that's for, okay? But I read that Matthew 1, and by Matthew 3, I done laid down my Bible again. I thought I got a revelation that we're a new church. But a New Testament church, but all of a sudden I lay it down, and every time I laid it down, I felt condemnation. Then God started revealing to me. He started revealing to me that if you struggle with it, I've got something for that. It's called the Holy Spirit. It says, let not a man teach you, but let the Holy Spirit teach you all things concerning righteousness. Amen. In James chapter 1, I think it's verse 5, it says, if any man, and it's speaking to the species of man, it's not talking about just the males. Okay, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he ain't going to hold it back. And I started finding out those things. And I said, you know what, God? It can't be that easy. And so I flipped a page in James, and I read, and I think it's James 2 or James 3. It says, you have not because you ask not. And I'm like, okay. That was probably the first time that the Lord has spoke to me through Scripture at that time. And that was 40-some years ago. But it was because I was struggling with my Bible reading. Now, if you ask me, glory to God, I read it every time. I'd lie. I go to church when going to Sunday school. I've told you before, we had them little cards, and you had to check if you had done your daily Bible reading or this or that. And all my buddies, I'd see them down there checking, and I thought, they didn't read that. I was with them last night, and we didn't read no Bible. And so I found out at a young age how to play church. And it started with checking off a box and lying about. And the reason we lied is because we thought that made us holy. We thought that made us right with God. We thought God was pleased with us because we did read our daily Bible. I'm going to give you some revelation. God is not more pleased with you just because you read. And I'm not giving an advocate that's not to read your word. I'm saying read your word, but the word, you reading the word is not for him, it's for you. It's so that you can grow, so I can grow. It's for us. And we've got it mixed up because we made it a ritual or a job to do. In other words, we got a relationship started right, but then all of a sudden we got into routine. I believe that some people are warming themselves by ungodly relationships. You say, what's an ungodly? It doesn't have to be that your boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be just the friends you hang around. And it says, people who constantly pull you away from God, that's not of the Lord. Some people are warming themselves by the fire of gossip and murmuring. Here, I want you to hear this. I don't think I've got it. You may have to write this down. What started as complaining became criticism. What becomes criticism eventually becomes division. It wants to divide your heart. It wants to divide your allegiance. It wants to divide you with your family and with your church family because you're critical. Amen. The wrong fire always leaves you colder than before. You cannot warm yourself by the world's fire and remain ablaze for God. Pastor Larry Nixon went on to be with the Lord, but I can remember sitting on it, and he said this statement a lot, and so I thought it was good that we put it out. He said, the world's God's the church, and the church is God's the world, and you can't tell them apart. I think that's even more today than ever before. So we talked about a fire of compromise. How about a fire of conviction? The danger, listen to me closely, the danger was not merely that Peter denied Jesus, because the danger began when Peter sat down. The danger began with Peter because he sat down. Luke 22:56 says, now they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter sat amongst them. See, he hadn't denied Jesus yet, but he sat down with the wrong crowd. He sat down with people that didn't even like Jesus. He sat down and tried to warm himself, get some comfort from something that wasn't from the Lord. See, compromise always starts with comfort. You know, the devil says, he don't come to you and say, hey, God, let's go ruin your life tonight. See, Peter didn't start by denying. He started his process by, he simply did this. He sat down. He sat down. Too many people, I believe, have sat down. That you're still in church and you sit down and stuff like that, but you're not walking with God like you once were, because you've been warming yourself by a fire compromise, and all of a sudden you find yourself, oh, I'm just going to sit down here. Oh, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm not sitting big. I'm just sitting down. I believe in our sit down sometimes, it's where we sit that matters. See, the devil rarely starts with our destruction. He starts with our comfort. Just sit here. Just relax. Just blend in. Just don't be too radical. And then came the moment after this that I know Peter never forgot. Luke 22:61 says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Look, can you imagine Peter had been sitting there you know, and defending him with a sword and sitting eating the Last Supper, as we call it. And he'd done all these things. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And he said, well, you're going to deny me three times for the rooster crows. But that had already taken place. Then he turns around and he remembers everything that Jesus said to him. Can you imagine that look that Jesus was giving him? Here's the thing that I imagined wrong until the Lord corrected me. Okay? He didn't get, Jesus, I don't believe, gave a look of hatred. He didn't give a look of rejection. He didn't even get a look of disgust. You know what he gave? A look of a broken heart. He gave him a look of a broken heart. See, a look that reminded Peter, I warned you, I prayed for you, but the same thing, I believe his look says, Peter, I still love you. Yes. You've messed up. You messed up three times. You did exactly what I said was going to happen. But you know what? I still love you. Yes. I still love you. And I think that's a concept that we got to get. We've been messed up multiple times. The Bible talks about a good man if he falls seven times. It's not saying, okay, number eight, and you're out on your own now. What he's doing is just giving a number to start with. Now, a good man falls seven times. Or one scripture says the righteous fall seven times. But guess what? They get back up. They get back up. After he got that look from Peter, or from God, Peter went out and he said he wept bitterly. And this is a concept that I got a whisper from last week. And I said, Lord, I ain't never even heard this. Well, I don't have it up there. I'm sorry. Maybe I do. Listen to me closely. Did you know that conviction is a gift? It's a gift. Conviction is a gift. The bitter whipping was not condemnation on Peter. It was conviction. See, condemnation tells you, you know what? You're finished. You done messed up too much. But conviction says it's time to come home. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction draws you toward God. The devil may say, hide. You remember with Adam and Eve, when it first took place, they went and tried to hide themselves and sown for themselves leaves and stuff. The devil will tell you every time you mess up, you need to hide. But God says, no, you need to return. The devil will tell you, you're disqualified. But God tells you, but I can restore you. Here's something I never thought about. It says that the fact that Peter wept is proof that God is still working on him. A dead conscience never cries. A dead conscience never cries. And a hardened heart never repents. But conviction is evidence that God and the Holy Spirit of God is still calling. Sometimes God allows us to feel the ashes of failure so that we can hunger for the fire of revival. Peter's tears became a doorway for his transformation. So I want to talk to you about Pentecostal fire. I know we celebrated the other day. Acts 2:1-4, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, hallelujah. This is Acts 14. I'm jumping ahead of myself. See, one fire warmed his flesh, the other fire ignited his spirit. But this is what I want to get to. This is one of the greatest scriptures in the Word that just got revealed to me in the last couple of weeks. Peter stood up. He may have sat down to wrong fire, but later on in Acts 14, all of a sudden he says he stood up. Yes. My thinking this is, you may have sat down, you may have sat by the wrong fire, you may have been sitting in compromise, you may have done a lot of things because you're just sitting down and quitting. But the Lord's saying, it's time for you to get back up. It's time for you to stand up. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost can make you stand where fear once was, where you once were trying to hide and trying to sit, because one touch of the Holy Ghost can turn a coward into a warrior. Holy Ghost fire replaced the weakness. Jesus, he even said it in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Power to witness, power to overcome temptation, power to resist hell, power to endure trials, power to remain faithful. I believe in the day and hour we're living in that the church needs Holy Ghost power. Because Holy Ghost fire replaced ashes with purpose. Which fire are you sitting around? Which fire are you sitting around? We can be sitting around a fire of compromise, or we can be sitting around the one that's going to restore us. See, and I talked about ashes last week. The devil likes ashes because ashes remind you who you used to be. But Joel says, and we talked about it last week, Joel said, I'm going to restore back the years that the canker worm has eaten, the palmer worm, the caterpillar. In other words, I believe the Holy Ghost fire wants to restore what failure tried to destroy. So I ask again, which fire are you sitting around? The fire of compromise or the fire of the Holy Ghost? See, one made him deny Christ, the other made him proclaim Christ. One brought shame, the other brought power. One produced failure, the other produced revival. So the question today is not whether there's a fire in your life, because there's a fire in every one of our lives, but which fire are you warming yourself up to? Which fire are you warming up to? Amen. Peter's story proves us one thing, that failure is not final. The same man who warmed himself by the enemy's fire was later filled with heaven's fire. The same man who denied Jesus became a preacher of righteousness. It was all because of a fire. Now, some may be here today, and this is something the Lord told me. He said, tell the people, I ain't running out of fire. God's got enough fire. You say, well, I've done this and I've done it and I failed this for, but no, he's got a fresh fire that he wants to send down to you today. God is still looking for people that are hungry enough to burn. So what fire are you sitting around? What fire are you sitting around? If God could restore Peter, he can restore anyone. You know, I've said it for years. I've said, if God can save me, he can save anybody. Here we got Peter who denied Christ publicly. And he said, you know what? I can restore him because I love him. You may have been here today. You may have done all these different things. You may have went the wrong way. But you got to make a decision today. What fire am I sitting by? What fire am I hanging out around? What type of people am I hanging around? Because God's about to change some things. See, when I got saved, I couldn't do the things I used to do. Not just because God told me not to. It's because I didn't want to. I think if we will learn in our walk with Christ that there's some things that, yes, God says don't do this, but that just seemed like rules and regulations when I first got saved. But then I found out it hurt God's heart. And so there's a lot of things that I don't do now that I used to do, even after I got born again, but I quit. Not because I'm trying to be this super Christian. I quit because it's breaking his heart. And he loves me. And he loves you. Pastor Keith said something at the men's conference that his dad had said to him that I'd never thought of. And he said, I've carried this and I'm going to hang on to it too. I'll give him credit for it this time. Eventually it'll become my own. But he said this, God is never disappointed in you. You know, that's what religion tells us. Well, you messed up, so God's disappointed you. God is never disappointed. There's nowhere in Scripture that says God was disappointed in that person. Every time it's because his love. See, he's got a love that covers a multitude of sin. He's got a love that's so more powerful than anything we've ever experienced. And until we start sitting by the right fire, we're not going to know that. Because I believe the fire of the Holy Ghost is a fire of love. That's the reason when people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I believe it's a baptism of love. I believe that God's taking us to a new level, but it's all going to be wrapped up in love. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word doesn't go out void, but it accomplishes what it's sent to do, and it's pleasing and prosperous in your sight. God, I thank you that the word is manifesting itself in each and every one of us. Now, if you're here today, and you feel like, I've been sitting at the wrong fire. You know, if you don't know Jesus, today's the day of salvation. But either way, whether you've known him or not known him, if you feel like I've been warming myself by the world and not by God, and I need to make some change today, it starts today. You're not here by accident. You're here by a divine appointment from the Lord, because he wanted you to know this. And I know I wasn't jumping around and shouting and stuff like that, and it's more of a teaching, but I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something, that your proximity, where you're at, where you're hanging around, it's going to create your identity. Once it creates your identity and you think that's who you are, it's harder to get out of that. When you begin to think, this is who I am, I was born this way, that's a lie of the enemy. And you got to come out from amongst them. You got to be holy. You got to come out and accept what Jesus Christ has already done for you. So if you're here today and you feel like you've been sitting around the wrong fire, hanging around the wrong crowd, but you know today you want to make some change, would you just lift up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor? Yes, God said that.
You've been listening to Sermons from the Well with Pastor Tim Rigdon. Subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get fresh new weekly episodes. For more, please visit our website at www.thewell.live. Until next time, come as you are. You won't leave the same.